As an added benefit to reoccurring donors, we are sending out DCO face masks to any monthly contributors for 3 months or more at the $5 plus level. Please send your size preference, either large or youth or small size, along with membership email and mailing address to info@dcontario.org. And you can check out what they look like in the show notes. This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brenda, and I'm currently a BSW student completing my placement with Distress and Crisis Ontario, and I'll be your host for this week. Today, I'll be going over some research on the topic of compassion fatigue and how to handle it. The term compassion fatigue was first coined by Charles Figley in 1980. He described compassion fatigue as a state of exhaustion and dysfunction biologically, physiologically, and emotionally as a result of prolonged exposure to compassion stress. I've come across many definitions of compassion fatigue, and the definition that I found most all-encompassing was the definition by the ALS Society of Alberta, and I quote, "Compassion fatigue occurs when caregivers or professionals begin to feel the pain and suffering of the people for whom they care for. They start to lose their sense of self to the people they help, giving more compassion than they receive to be able to feel that their work is being validated. As a result, the caregivers become wrapped in a form of burnout, causing feelings of deep physical, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion. Compassion fatigue is the emotional mirroring of those who are suffering and those who are providing them with care. It is sensitivity or vulnerability to pain that can become overwhelming. Individuals experiencing compassion fatigue have a hard time maintaining a healthy balance of concern and objectivity and find it hard to come out of the downward spiral. Many people experiencing compassion fatigue will push themselves harder, eventually reaching rock bottom. Because of the extreme level of commitment required to care for the person they are caring for, compassion fatigue can sometimes occur for the primary caregivers, loved ones, and professionals caring for the client." End quote. Additionally, some may say that empathy fatigue is the better term, and Dr. Susan Albers described this as the emotional and physical exhaustion that happens from caring for people day after day after day, to the point that helpers experience a sense of numbness and distancing and having little to no ability to care. Many people can experience compassion fatigue, and some of these professions include nurses, social workers, PSWs, doctors, psychologists, family members, anyone who is continuously hearing, seeing, or witnessing tragedies, pain, and suffering, while also providing care, support, and protection. There are four stages of compassion fatigue. There's the zealot phase, which is the first phase, where the caregiver or professional is committed, involved, and available, putting in extra hours and volunteering help. The second stage is the irritability phase, where the caregiver or professional begins to cut corners or avoids contact with the person they're caring for. They may daydream or become distracted and distant. In the third phase, which is the withdrawal phase, the caregiver or professional experiences a loss of enthusiasm, they develop a thick skin, and may complain of stress or fatigue. The line between the client and the caregiver begin to run together, and this is why having boundaries is very important. And the fourth and final stage is the zombie phase. And it pretty much describes how it sounds, where hopelessness turns to rage and others seem incompetent. There's disdain for the person that is being cared for as the caregiver becomes more impatient and distant. Activities that the individual once enjoyed are no longer enjoyable to them. No matter where you are in any of these stages, here are some warning signs of compassion fatigue outlined by the Canadian Mental Health Association. And these are feeling overwhelmed, hopeless, helpless, or powerless when hearing of others suffering, feelings of anger, irritability, sadness, and anxiety, feeling detached from our surroundings or from our physical or emotional experience, feeling emotionally, psychologically, or physically exhausted, burnt out, or numb. Physical symptoms such as nausea, dizziness, headaches. Then there's reduced empathy. Feeling hypersensitive or insensitive to the stories we hear. Limited tolerance for stress. Self-isolation and withdrawal. Relationship conflict. Feeling less efficient or productive at work. Reduced pleasure in activities you once used to enjoy. Difficulty sleeping and maybe having nightmares, difficulty concentrating, focusing or making decisions, and self-medicating and increased substance abuse. If you have identified with any of these symptoms, here's what you can do. Registered psychotherapist Françoise Mathieu advises that it's best to figure out and understand what your top three big warning signs are that let you know that you're about to hit rock bottom. It's important to reflect on how your body indicates to you that you are headed for trouble. There are three indications to watch out for, which are physical, behavioral, and emotional. If you are having difficulties trying to figure this out, ask some of your loved ones or anyone that you live with. They are most likely to notice and let you know how they know that your compassion meter is running low and you're about to hit rock bottom. Some physical indications may include headaches and heart palpitations. Behavioral indications could be that you feel easily annoyed, you may begin isolating yourself. And for the emotional reactions you may have, you might feel depression, anxiety, or irritable. Furthermore, some helpful tips for coping outlined by the Canadian Mental Health Association also includes mindfulness, being aware and mindful of your thoughts, feelings, physiological changes in your body, and any emotions you might be experiencing. Focus on your breathing and slow down your breathing rate. Use visual reminders to stay connected with yourself and appreciate your positive aspects of your life. You may want to look at photos, flowers, maybe a painting, your favorite book, anything that gives you a positive visual representation of what you enjoy. Put negative thoughts, worries, and stressors into perspective and take a broader approach to better evaluate them. Identify your resources, learning, and strengths to help you make healthier decisions and to move forward. Focus on what you have control over. Take time to appreciate yourself and your hard work. Look at your positives and remind yourself that you don't have full control over most outcomes. Accept that pain and suffering are part of life and you don't always have a lot of control. Then there's practical aspects to self-care. So you can eat healthy, set time for physical exercise, and be kind to yourself. Engage in proper sleep hygiene. Get the proper amount of sleep that you need for your body. Seek quality social support, whether it's reaching out to your loved ones, talking to friends, making time during your week to make sure you go out and socialize, well, with social distancing measures, of course. You can virtually meet up with people, whether using Skype, WhatsApp, FaceTime, anything to keep you connected to your social support or community. Also, you can be mindful to schedule meaningful activities for yourself. So what do you like to do? I personally like to paint. I like practicing calligraphy. I like going on bike rides. So whatever is meaningful to you, make sure to schedule that into your life. And set realistic goals and expectations and practice flexibility when your circumstances change. Keep a sense of humor. I personally believe that laughter is the best medicine. And also remember to laugh at the appropriate times. But yes, laughter is a very great source of medication, at least for me. And I believe it will be for you too. And focus on balancing your work and personal life. There's nothing like having the right amount of balance to make sure everything is working out for you. Then there's emotional self-care. Set healthy personal and emotional boundaries in terms of what works for you and what doesn't, and only take on what you feel you can handle. Keep in mind that your emotional boundaries will likely change over time, and that's okay. Just adjust them accordingly. Maintain your compassion, connection, and empathy without overly taking on someone else's pain or suffering or tragedy. I hope that these practices will be beneficial to you if you are caring for someone that requires you to use a lot of compassion and empathy to care for them. Even though you are caring for others, always remember to check in with yourself and practice self-care. And don't feel bad if you've ever gone through any of this. It's normal. The work you do is important, and taking care of yourself so you can be your best self is just as important as well. I hope that this was a great start, and if you are wanting to learn more about compassion and empathy fatigue, I highly suggest that you do some more research into it or check out the links below. Take care until next time. Bye.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. We are committed to providing the most current and up-to-date information. With your help, we can make it better. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress-and-crisis-ontario.com or by clicking the link in the show notes. And by donating, monthly contributors will be able to access a special podcast feed. In it, we'll have additional content and some more in-depth pieces on some of our most popular topics. Thank you.